At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more. My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Okay, heading off now down the farm, and it's a slightly different one today because we're talking about Simon's new book, The Boy Without Love. Good afternoon, Simon. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Yeah, very good. It's nice. It's down here. We've got daylight. It's
the first
time for months I've been speaking to you, and it's broad daylight. It's lovely. It's got a real sense that spring is going to happen.
Yeah, but there's been some snow around as well, hasn't there, I think, in the UK today.
Yeah, but I only worry about
that. Right, you're not bothered, are you?
No. there's no snow here. I know that some of the other parts of the country.
But
all right here.
But it's nice down there, is it, my friend? I didn't now reading the book and looking at the book. There's some things I didn't know about. I didn't know that you were now on BBC Radio Devon as a presenter. What? Tell us more. What's going on there?
I do bits for different radio stations. I'm really lucky.
Yeah.
I used to be petrified when I first started. I used to be petrified of doing radio.
Tell me about
now. Oh, the thought of jumping in front of a mic and I'm there. I'll do any radio station. But the best, obviously, is talk radio.
Yes. So what do you do what other stations do you do and what do you do for them?
I do on a Monday night, I do North Devon Radio,
yeah.
6 till 9, a book club. And we have guests and we just talk about books and play music and things. I do little bits of Radio Devon when they'll let me, and anywhere and everywhere.
Brilliant, great stuff, and the book is fantastic, Simon, and really, I suppose it's a little bit different to the books you've done before, because it does focus a bit more on your upbringing, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I had a complicated mother, and a complicated relationship with her. What happened was, it started with a sheep, as kind of most things on in my world start with an animal. And I had this sheep, and she gave birth to a lamb, and she rejected the lamb. She wanted nothing to do with it. She wouldn't let it feed. She wouldn't let it come near her. She just absolutely blanked it, wouldn't get it anywhere near. And I thought, that's what it was like for my mum with me.
Yeah.
Everyone says that when a woman gives birth to a child, there's this massive rush of love and affection. And they feel, and you hear women talk, and they have stories of, you know, I've never felt anything like it. I'd die for this baby. It's wonderful. But it doesn't always happen.
No.
And for my mum, when she gave birth to me, for my mum looked down at me and went, oh. I just felt nothing at all.
Were you the only child at the time as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I was, yeah. And she would tell me quite, and it was part of conversation. She was never trying to be nasty. It was always part of conversation. And we'd be sitting having, as a child, I'd be getting ready for school. And we'd sit there in the mornings with a cup of coffee and a piece of toast. And she'd be doing her makeup. In the 1970s, women did a lot of makeup.
Yeah.
And she'd be doing her makeup and she'd be talking. And she'd be saying, you know, oh, I've got to do this after work and I must remember to get some milk. And you know, I don't love you, don't you? You understand what I mean by that? And I say, yes, mum. And she'd say, yeah, you know, just as long as you know, as long as you understand. And so all of my life, it was trying to figure out what was wrong with me that made me unlovable. What was missing? Why didn't my mum love me? What was wrong? And becoming a kind of smallholder, having the animals, there's also that sense on the farm. Sometimes an animal give birth to a young.
Yeah.
And they reject it, as this sheep did and this lamb did.
Well, what I found quite interesting with that situation that you're talking about there is that a lot of times, you know, you do hear of bad upbringings where the parents, there's not a lot of love in the house. But to actively say that, that must be so damaging psychologically. I mean, you know, if I was, you wouldn't dream of giving advice like that to anybody who wants to be a good parent, to say those words, because we all know the old saying that sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt. Well, we know that's a load of rubbish, don't we?
And that was a big saying of my mum's. Funny you should say that. She used to say that a lot. And she was a firm believer that nothing you could say, the words were just words.
Yeah.
And she'd actively encouraged me to lie, because words were words. Words meant nothing. She was strange. But it's difficult to look back. There didn't ever seem to be malice. She wasn't actively being nasty.
No.
She was just matter of fact. You know, I don't love you. I never have. I don't like you all the time. Sometimes I do.
And what about your dad then, Simon?
He was lovely. He was a dad of the 70s, you know.
Yeah.
He was, you know, affection and emotion weren't anything that really, you know, came into his life. So they split up.
Yeah.
When I was very young, when I was like 3 or 4 years old, they split up and went their own ways. And I stayed in contact. And kind of moved between the two, depending what was going on. Because for ages and ages, she'd try and give me away. And she'd try and find people to give me away to. It just sounded very bleak, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I think, obviously, there's a lot of times we chat and we have a lot of fun on this, and, you know, we're talking about the farm, and I know there's some great stuff in the book which will make people smile as well, but I do think this is really vital, because a lot of times I think when you're in that situation, me having to deal with people all the time in my other ministry, people think they're the only ones going through it.
Oh, that is so true. And the wonderful thing that's come out of this book is a number of people that have come to me and said that they've had an awkward upbringing with their parents. And they always start with, I've never told anybody this.
Yeah, yeah.
And they'll tell you their story. But what really, I mean, I kind of thought I might get that. But what really got to me, and it was totally unexpected, is I've had a number of women come to me saying, I have bonded with my son, and
wow,
I'm buying your book because I want to see it from my son's point of view.
Mm.
And that was really powerful. I hadn't expected that at all.
No. But for them to even admit it, I mean, because like maybe in the 70s, you know, your mum probably would have been quite open about her feelings, but it wouldn't have been an issue to her maybe at the time. Whereas today, at least they're saying, you know, this is something I need to work on. It's something I'm struggling with. And I think as parents, I think we have to be aware that, you know, as a parent of two children, that the love you have for them is overwhelming. You know, that's my point of view. But that doesn't change the fact that it's the most demanding responsibility you'll ever take on in your life.
Oh,
and it can be so stressful and so... And you can start resenting sometimes, I think. You know, and you've got to kind of get your mindset right about this is a long haul thing. This is a lot of work being a dad and being a mum.
Absolutely. And I think we understand more about it now and we think more about it. And it is so complicated. The relationship is so complicated. And you can say something to your child and they'll... you'll forget it a week later, but they'll remember it 30 years later, and it will be part of their makeup and things. It is very difficult. But I think my mum had postnatal depression, and I think it started with that. I think there were other issues that she had as well, but I do think there was postnatal depression because there was also an awful lot of domestic violence. And I used to sleep in my school uniform because you never knew if you were going to have to be dragged out of bed and whipped out of there. So there was that kind of side as well. So she was a complex lady. There was an awful lot of issues going on with her. I've never had children because I still can't figure out what makes me unlovable. And there's the worry that, is it hereditary? What if I had a child and that child was unlovable? So I've never allowed myself, I've never been able to go down the route of having children myself.
And I think had you done so, well, obviously life would be very different, wouldn't it? But you do appreciate your parents more when you do have children. That's something I've experienced from my perspective. No, I mean, I think, Simon, the fact, as we look at what you've achieved in your life and what you've done, and the fact that, you know, people like listening to you, and you obviously, you know, people like reading your stuff, that people like you, and I think that's something you can take from a lot of what you're doing at the moment. And I think, cause it is something that will stay with you for the rest of your life if you don't deal with it. And have you, with your mum, have you come to terms with how she was, or is it still quite raw for you even today?
No, of course, I think I've come to terms with it. Yeah. I understand what she's done. I'm still confused over an awful lot of it. I still don't understand what was wrong with me,
yeah,
to make me unlovable, and I'm still confused over that. But no, I don't. If she was nasty to me, if she was actively trying to hurt me, she did hurt me, but she didn't mean to. It was just what she did.
Yeah.
And I think because she did it like that, it's difficult for me to say, oh, my mum was horrible, because she wasn't.
So
it's just complicated.
She wasn't hateful, she just wasn't loving. And that's, there is a difference, no, there, isn't there? She wasn't vindictive.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
She was odd and she was complicated, but she wasn't vindictive, as you say, or you know, actively nasty. But the book, it sounds very, very dark. The book is not so funny, mate.
Yeah, so
it jumps between my childhood and life right now on the farm, with all of the mad chaos that is looking after us.
Which we hear about a lot, don't we, of course.
Exactly.
with all that, I mean, how, obviously we want people to buy the book, but did you ever get to speak to her about that? And is she still around? I mean, what's the situation now, really, with her?
She's kind of around. Unfortunately, yeah, she has advanced dementia. She's in a nursing home.
Right.
She's bedridden. And the part of her that was the person I knew is long gone.
Yeah.
She's just a shell of a person now. So there's no talking. There's nowhere to go on that kind of front.
But do you still feel a responsibility towards her in that respect? It's difficult. I'm trying to just gauge where you are now with her now.
Oh, she's my mum. I love her. I just wish that she could have loved me, and I wish that maybe if she had postnatal depression, I wish she had found some help or done something or just talked to me. I mean, I'd ask her questions, but if she didn't want to answer, she just wouldn't. She wouldn't acknowledge that I'd asked the question.
Yeah.
She would just blank. So there's lots of, so many unanswered things. And it all hit home with this lamb being born and this sheep. And it was kind of like it had been hiding within me, and it all just suddenly hit. And all the kind of questions, all the anger, the frustration, the confusion, all just kind of hit. And the only way I could figure out how to try and make sense of it was to write it down.
Yeah.
Which is where the book came from.
And I think that you wouldn't be the person you are. I mean, we're all products of our upbringing in many ways. But the fact that you know, a lot of people have maybe a relatively good upbringing, and, you know, and it's nothing, you know, it's not amazing, it's just, you know, average kind of thing. And, you know, you go through your life and you tend to be average. But I think, you know, you gave up what you were doing in London and lived this dream, and you talk about the farm that saved you, really, in that respect. And I don't think you would have maybe done that if you had been in a different position. And you seemed like you were looking for salvation, for want of a better term, a place where you can find your identity and know where you are, and I think the farm's brought that for you.
Absolutely. I think I'd have gone down a much darker path if I hadn't got the farm. Animals are incredible leveler.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if I'm talking to you on Talk Radio Europe, I turn around and then I've got to go and sit with my pig. You know, it's a real level. Or conversely, I could be having a really bad day and really struggling. I've still got to go and sit with my pig. You know, I've still got to do all that. So there is that side. And they're very good listeners.
You
can talk to the animals. And they don't judge and they don't worry. And you can kind of tell them all your secrets and things. And that helps as well.
Yeah.
But I don't think I would have, you know, definitely wouldn't be the same person. And I'm not sure I'd kind of be here if I hadn't found the animals and the farm and things.
Yeah, well, it's great. And like you say, we have been quite deep on this, but I think maybe that's good because we are very jovial and we do have, and no doubt we will be next time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but I think it's really good for us as listeners who've gotten to know you over the years. We know you as somebody who's light-hearted, who's jovial, who looks at the fun in all things and looks for the laughter in the tale. And I think it's good because people need to know that you have to deal with stuff. You have to deal with real life and get on and make your life what you want it to be. Simon, the book's called The Boy Without Love and The Farm That Saved Him. It's available on our website if you want to go to tre.radio. You can order the book there. And wish you all the very best with the book, Simon. And don't go.
Thank you.
When you become a megastar, remember us here at TRE, won't you? When you become this big author and all these books that you've got now, more books than Shakespeare and all that sort of stuff coming on. So,
if I become very successful, I will hire a plane, and each month I'll fly out and come into the studio.
That's it, brilliant, yes. And when I become successful, I'll come and see you as well. cheers, Simon.
All the animals.
Simon, cheers, my friend. Take care. We'll speak soon.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Cheers,
thank
buddy.
You.
Bye-bye. Simon Dawson is down on the farm, as always.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy, thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods, straight from world-famous restaurants, right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered, with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.